Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. This is Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, with an exciting, exciting show today. Yes, 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 yes. With conscious parenting and personal growth, this being part 21, believe that or not. Yeah, 21 installments. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but hey, it's happening. So I encourage everybody to go into the archives. Yes. Go into the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. And scroll down to the archives, scroll down, and you'll see the title, Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. And you can go into the little box that says newest, the last, or something like that. You see a little box where you can click on, and you can see all the archives. And then you can go, I think it's alphabetical. And, find it. And you'll see all the installments there. Click on the show. You can hear it right then and there anytime. And then if you look at the very top, you'll see the audio bar. You all know what I'm talking about? Audio bar. Okay, at the very top, where you can kind of go back and forward. All right, to the right of that, you'll see a little cloud. Yeah, a little cloud, okay? And that's where you will click on, and you'll download the show. The show will be, you'll see, show 9878, whatever. And you'll rename that and call it whatever you want to call it. And then it goes right into your folder. Then you can put it into your music folder and hear it. Anytime you want to, you can make a CD out of it. You can also put it into your iPod list. Mm-hmm. Yep. Free information. Download them all. Free therapy. All right. This show has information and tools to save your marriage, to prepare you for good marriages, healthy marriages, help you with addictions. We had a whole series on addictions and recovery earlier on. Last year, actually, sometime. And, now we're doing one on conscious parenting and personal growth. Conscious parenting and personal growth. And what we're doing is going through the book Reconnected and reading and expanding on the ideas that match the topic at hand. Okay? So I'm speaking to parents and also those who want to have a better life for themselves personally, how to develop themselves personally so you can have a better life, yeah, which will, be good for anything you do, whether marriages, job, contracts, any of your occupational goals or personal goals, yeah, so you can have the best possible life you can have, okay? Yeah, and you can get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I prefer you to go to my site, cloudsofabundance.com, after the three W's we have. cloudsofabundance.com. My email nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. And when you go to the Clouds of Abundance site, I can autograph it for you and mail it personally. I'll make sure you get it. Okay, for sure. All right. All right. Everybody got that? Okay. And when you're calling, you can always hit the number 1 on your keypad, and I'll bring you in on the show, and you can ask questions, and we could have a nice, lively discussion here. Okay? All right. Very good. Very good. And so here we go. And by the way, as we know, for you Muslims out there, Ramadan starts. I'll give you the greeting of Ramadan Mubarak right now. Okay? For those of you who will be celebrating that, which I am. Okay? All right, last session we talked about increasing the vocabulary, the emotional vocabulary, and for our young ones. And I believe we're at the age of 8 to 11, I believe. Yeah, I believe that's correct. Yeah, 8 to 11 years old, okay? And we went through several words, emotional labels here. And these are words that they can understand as long as you model for them what the words mean. All right? very, very important to understand the benefits of this, especially our little girls. You see, because by them not knowing how to express themselves, they can't tell you that Mr. Johnson, the principal, touched them in a very inappropriate way. Okay? Or that another student or teacher, you know, did something to them that was very inappropriate. They look disturbed, but they don't know how to tell you what's really bothering them because they don't know how to express themselves. Very important that you know exactly what happened or what happened, generally speaking, when they're not under your direct supervision. That's very important. All right? I'm sure you understand that, right? Okay. Now, part of all this is also teaching them how to relax. Like I mentioned before, I saw a very, very good short film on relaxing that youngsters, like 8 years old, they're actually teaching. I got it from the Oprah's, her Super Soul Sunday. So you can go to my Facebook. Yeah, I have it right there. Facebook.com/childselflove. Again, facebook.com/childselflove. You go there and you scroll down and you like the page naturally, and you'll see the little sister right there, a picture of her. You can click on that and share that, and it's fantastic, you know, really fantastic. Kids are really showing you how to. As a matter of fact, I have in my book that kids of that age can't do that, but I'm wrong now. I see that they can do that. They can do a lot more than you think. Absolutely. And along that lines, you know, we have to teach them how to deep breathe. I've talked about that before on a few other segments here. But I'm going to do it again today. Yeah. It's called probably diaphragmatic breathing. Again, diaphragmatic breathing. It's a different technique, you know. But this is allows the maximum amount of air inside when you inhale, you know, and then you exhale slowly. And doing it in this fashion, you get the most results. Why not get the most results? The other breathing techniques that you can use, surely, you know, and you can get some results. But this technique, the diaphragmatic breathing one, gets you the most. We have a choice of having the least or the most. Well, why choose the least? Yeah, you gotta choose the most, but this is the most, okay? All right. So very important to understand that. And not just for the kids, but first of all, everything starts with you. See, you lead by example, you teach by example, you discipline by example, you know, everything in your household, speaking to you parents out there, is done by example, not by what you say, by what you do. So once you master the deep breathing technique, and you see it works for you, okay, now you're a good authority to now teach this to your young ones. See, when you see that your own blood pressure is lowered, you had anger issues, and now you find that you're no longer have these anger issues, and now you find that your marriage is better, people like being around you more, you're a more calm person, okay? You know, because sometimes you say, "I'll just pray," and you'll be okay. Sometimes it's not okay after you pray. You still have some pent up stuff going on. Okay, so you got to do something else. All right, so that's where it comes from. So you do this. Very important. I mean, if you meditate, it's all part of the process. So deep breathing is very, very important. You know, we got our brain. We have 2/3 of our brain, huh? Has the area of instinct and emotion as the basis. Yeah, 2/3 of it. So you have to consciously go to the front part, the frontal cortex, neocortex there, where rational intellect lives, okay? And be in that area to make rational decisions. But when things happen, you know, people push your buttons, people say the wrong thing to you, or you see the wrong person, all of a sudden you're in the back of the brain, you're acting like a clown. All right? Acting up, and your emotions are leading you instead of you leading your emotions. So that's the whole idea here, you know. Give you techniques so you can be better yourself. That's why it's called conscious parenting and personal growth. All right? Very, very important. So breathing, very important, okay? All right. So if you're listening to this while you're in the car, I suggest you don't even try any of this. So you can always go back in archives. You can hear it anytime, the show is designed like that. You can go and hear it anytime. Okay, very important. All right. Okay. Now, as a parent, and you're talking to your 8 to 11 year old. Okay. Remember, this applies to not just kids or this whole scenario, but anybody. So just hear it the way it fits you. Okay. So you're saying, okay, this style of breathing allows your body to take in more oxygen, which will bring about a more relaxed overall feeling from your toes to your head. How does that sound to you? Remember, you're talking to your 8 to 11-year-old. Just thinking about a complete relaxed feeling where your body feels like floating and drifting about brings on a smile in anticipation of it all. See, this style of breathing brings more oxygen to your brain, which can clear your mind of day-to-day stress and bother. See, this style of breathing will relax your heart, slowing your heart rate down, which adds to your relaxation. See, this style of breathing can and will make you think more, using your rational abilities instead of reacting from a primarily emotional impulse. That basically means, Hassan, that this style of breathing can and will relax you so you don't get as mad or angry sometimes, and you will be able to think more, and then clearer choices can be made. Haven't you had times when you did things, when you were mad, and when you calmed down and thought, if you had just taken time to think first, you would not have done that thing? Well, that's what I'm talking about. This style of breathing can do all of that as long as you open up and let it happen. Okay, let's get started. Okay? All right? So you do the breathing exercises. Now, remember, what I did before, should I go, you know what, maybe I should go back over that again. Maybe I should do that, okay? Because even though I said that before in other installments, sometimes people listen and they just want to get it all right then, So, okay, no problem. Hey, we'll do it. All right. So what we'll do, matter of fact, what I'll do, I'll go right to that immediately right now, and we'll just do it again. It's okay. It's all good. All right. So some people, when they breathe in, their chest goes up and down, all that, that's lightweight. We're not talking about doing like that. We're talking about where your stomach goes out, not your chest, not your shoulders go up. Your stomach goes out when you breathe in. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's the diaphragmatic breathing. Okay. All right. We'll go there right now. The breathing focuses first. In order to receive the full effect of this relaxing process, you need to learn how to breathe using your diaphragm to fully expand your muscles, both your abdominal and your latissimus muscles located on your back, connecting your shoulders down to your waistline, kind of like your wing muscles back there. Okay? Yeah. Wind instruments, musicians, use the breathing technique as well. If you notice how a round balloon inflates, you will see that it expands equally, right, on all sides, right, of course. Excuse me. Your diaphragm is capable of doing the same thing inside of you. As you take that first breath, you will direct that incoming air all the way down to your tummy, not your shoulders. Remember, your shoulders stay neutral. Yeah, air goes all the way down to your tummy. This is considered step one of three steps in this correct breathing process. Okay? All right, for clarity's sake, let's look at this first step again. As you inhale, you are directing the airstream down to your stomach, which pushes it forward. No other body part is affected yet. Okay? On step one, your tummy alone is pushed out by itself. I try now, see if you can do it. Most people can't do it the first time because we're so used to the chest and the shoulders going up. Okay? On step two, you are now going to direct the airstream to your rear, going past your spine, expanding your lower back muscles, the latissimus muscles, just above your waistline. Okay? Now, at the same time, the same airstream is expanding your intercostal muscles, which are located in between your ribs. Okay? Yeah. Feel that? Just put your hands on your rib and feel your ribs expand. Those are called the intercostal muscles in there, okay? All right. If you keep the picture of the expanding round balloon in mind, you will be able to envision what your body will start looking like as you expand your lower muscles. Okay? On step two now, again. The muscles that are expanding are the back and the rib muscles. Got that? The back and the rib muscles simultaneously. It is here where you can see the balloon effect. Your body will actually shift backwards as your expanding latissimus muscles will pull you back. Yeah, like someone pulling you back from your belt, like someone behind you puts your finger in your belt and pulls you back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With your stomach going out initially, and your latissimus, or I'll say lat muscles, pulling you back, your body might look like you're moving forward and backward every time you inhale. Forward and backward. Okay? I have found that most people have underdeveloped latissimus muscles unless you work out all the time. Now on step three, or the exhaling process, you're going to think, like when you're in a doctor's office and they put the little stick in your tongue and says, hey, let me see your throat. Yeah, you say, Okay? This is the correct position to have as you're exhaling and pushing the air straight out. Using your abdominal muscles to smoothly push out all of your air out. Okay? Now, when you're breathing for the purpose of playing a wind instrument, you will exhale with more force as you are building up all your breathing muscles. It's force. Okay? Now, when you're practicing your breathing exercises for the purpose of relaxing, like we're doing now, and centering, remember, centering yourself, very important, your approach will be slightly different. Okay? You will inhale through your nose instead of your mouth. Your breathing will be gradual, and your exhaling will be slow with a controlled, steady flow. Okay? To speed up the process of relaxing, you can inhale and hold your breath for the slow count of 5, and then slowly release your air until you're fully deflated. Okay? Got that? All right. There are so many benefits, I'm telling you. And people should do this all the time. I don't care what you got going on. Yeah. So many benefits. When you practice breathing like this, you're putting more oxygen to your system, blood system, which helps you in thinking more clearly, relaxing and letting go of stress, relaxing your heart, thus lowering your blood pressure. A lot of y'all got problems in the area. Okay? All right. After several rounds of this breathing, you probably will be a little dizzy, as this is another side effect of a higher level of oxygen, and you might even start yawning. Yeah, I do it all the time. Naturally, if you get lightheaded, sit down, take a break. When you really get this breathing method on your belt, literally, you can use it in situations where you find yourself stressed out. It might be one of those meetings where the boss is acting like a non-human, or might be in school dealing with peer pressure, in a relationship or marriage, just internal stuff going on. See, as soon as you know stress is right around the corner with your name on it, you can go into action. This is the time to go inward. Breathe deep and exhale slowly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, slowly. keeping a peaceful affirmation in mind, such as, yeah, you can say this. All is well in my world. Everyone around me is celebrating my existence and is supportive in all my endeavors. I am loved. End quote. That's a good one. When you breathe in this manner, you are shifting the focus in your brain. That's important. I want everybody to get that. You are shifting the focus in your brain. Yeah. See, like I was talking about before, the emotional and instinctive part of our brain, the two-thirds part. Yeah. When you're doing this, you're shifting from the back to the front. See, we're created to be thinking. You know, Homo sapien means upright thinking human being. Thinking. You know, George Clinton used to say, think, it ain't illegal yet. You know, think. You can't think from the back. Think from the front. Okay? And this breathing will help stop a lot of fights, arguments. You make better decisions. Yeah. Improve your memory even. Oh, man, memory. We all need that. Yeah, for sure. So you should do this every day. You know, I do this every morning after my slot, after my prayer. Keeping this, get this universal for show. I always got to keep that in mind. But after my prayer in the morning, I do deep breathing and I go into meditation. Yeah. It really clears the, you know, kind of wipes the board clean so you can have a fresh start for your day. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody got that now? Okay. Very, very important. Very important. All right. Now with the same age group, 8 to 11, now back to the parenting part, you could use some of these positive feeling terms, okay? Yeah, you know, after they learn how to relax, then introduce new terms. We're trying to increase their emotional inventory, their vocabulary, okay? Terms like regenerated, happy, strong, joyful, loving, accepting, compassionate, safe, protected, enlightened, powerful. That's a good one, yeah. Great. Secure, competent, enthusiastic, talented, fulfilled, successful, gifted, valued. That's a good one. That's a major one. Valued. Oh, yeah. Use that a lot. You know, our youngsters, they need to know they are valued and that we value them. Yeah, for sure. Hear that? They need to know that they're valued and we value them. Comfortable, connected, peaceful, sensible, rational, favored. Yeah. Self-confident, included, courageous, wonderful, important, supported, unlimited, unstoppable, conscious, ambitious, trusting, receptive. Yeah. Okay. Now the parent role again. Yeah, to little son. As you are breathing in, imagine bringing in all the joy, happiness, and peace. When you exhale, imagine directing stress, anger, bitterness, madness, vindictiveness, hurt, and loneliness away from you. See? This will help you emotionally during this process. Tell me, how are you feeling now? Can you identify times in your average week when this kind of breathing could help you? Remember, you're talking to your 8 to 11-year-old around, okay? All right. Can you tell me who in your life bugs you and makes you feel stressed? See, you want to ask this kind of question because then now you know who's bothering them at school. Yeah. Do you think this exercise can help you think more instead of getting mad with this person or even when you're by yourself brooding in your anger or depression? What other things in your life depress you? Make you feel bad about yourself, make you mad, and or make you uncomfortable. questions to ask about little ones, see? That would make them think, yes. And then give them these emotional vocabulary, they know how to express themselves. That's what you want. Okay? Now, we all need to find a way to make ourselves feel good. Doesn't it feel good to feel good? Ooh. Of course, Hassan. And it is wonderful to know that when stressful situations come up and our body starts to reflect stress, we now have ways to offset this stress. If not a lot, then at least a little bit. Hey, some relief is better than no relief at all, isn't that right? Even if you can't get away and do this breathing exercise right when you need to, you can escape in your mind and do the same thing. Ooh, other concepts, huh? You like to imagine things, don't you? Well, of course, I do too. It is fun to see yourself anywhere you want, doing whatever you want to do. Being in a perfect environment, being fed exactly what you need, emotionally and physically. You and you alone are in control of your mind. Nobody but you controls that part of your life, and as long as you know that and exercise that great imagination of yours, you can be, feel, and do anything you want. Now the question is, how do you want to feel? How do you want your life to be? How do you want people and family members to be toward you? Good question, huh? Think about the folks in your family and identify how each and every one of them is with you. Which ones are kind, compassionate, considerate, validating, and empathic, and which ones are not? For the ones who are not, can you imagine how you would like for them to be? Okay. Imagine them the way you would like for them to be in your great creative mind. Oh, here it comes now. We're talking about creating your virtual experience. Yeah. Let me say it again. Imagine them the way you would like for them to be in your great creative mind. Hold firm to that image. Love that image and even start forming a relationship with that image. All right? Do all this internally. You might get locked up for being a crazy person. When that negative member comes around with their stress package, just go inside and experience the new and improved version of them. Okay? Got that? This is important. This is really the graduate level of my book, Reconnected. How to create that virtual experience. This is how you really change your history. History is nothing but your perceptions of what happened back then, right? So this is how you actually change that. This is really the answer, I'm telling you. Yeah, we got a lot of baggage in our past, and that baggage controls us right now. Those old voices are still there telling you what you can and can't do. You know? Restricting you like a burden on you. Hurts you've never had before. Father left you. Mother abandoned you. Foster care system. Who knows what? You might have been locked up for a while. All kind of stuff in the past there. This right here helps you get rid of those feelings or change the feelings around. So those feelings serve you, serve the highest in you, and don't work against you. That's what I'm talking about. You see? That's what we need to have. A tool for our transformation, so we aren't bothered anymore by those old experiences. Got that? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Now, have patience with the presenting stress, going back to this process here, knowing that when they are gone, you can go within and redo the whole interaction with the better person inside. See, you're actually recreating the person, and it's called the virtual experience. This will bring back your good feelings and reduce the stress baggage you were carrying before. You see? Yeah. Now, this same process you'll go through with the Mentoring Your Child Self, which is my book, Right Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Now, you're getting it now? At first, when you heard that title, you probably didn't get what that meant. How to be a mentor to your child self, the self you once were. This is how you do it. Okay? I know it sounds crazy having a relationship with your imaginary person, right? But your feelings are more important than how other people feel about how you choose to take care of yourself. Yeah. Your feelings are more important. Other folk even think of you. Got that? Your feelings are more important to you than other people's feelings. Remember, you're number one. You have to feel okay with you first before you can feel all right for anybody else. So if it takes you having a relationship with your imaginary family to feel all right inside, then so be it. Hey, this is your life. Now remember, it is those good feelings that attract more good feelings to you. Yeah. Those good feelings can influence the energy in the household, which can be the turning point in making real change happen. Please hear this. It is like you smiling a lot in the house. Your smiling makes people around you feel good, and they in turn start to do what? They start smiling too. Your smiling makes people feel good about themselves, makes them put aside their stresses and strife and instead bring to the forefront good, happy, and joyous feelings. Yeah. So as your brother or sister are giving you grief, in your mind, your improved brother or sister is loving and considerate. So that makes you smile in appreciation. See? Your absence of anger and your good disposition will affect your brother or sister, and their mistreatment of you will subside, or at least will diminish a little bit. And that's all you need, right? As long as you have some kind of improvements in there. Everybody get that? What I said today, is the key to the whole process of mentoring your child self and having a life of freedom and possibilities. Yeah. Well, I just said here in the past 10 minutes. Yeah, so important. So important. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I remember last time I talked about progressive muscle relaxation. Remember that one? Yeah, okay. All right. And so we go through that with the 8 to 11-year-olds. So you're the parent now. This is your parent role. As you go about your day-to-day activities, and you experience any of the symptoms that we just talked about, you know, just keep in mind what it feels like to release those tense feelings. The more you have the good feelings in mind, the faster your body will start to really feel those feelings instead of harboring the bad feelings that started with your stressful situation. Yeah. The key is learning how to let go of the bad feelings in order to have the good feelings come in. See, too many times, we focus on the present badness, which brings on more badness, when we can shift our thinking to good feelings, which by a law of attraction, bring about more good feelings. Okay? Yeah. The progressive muscle relaxation is very important. You know, like, you know, making a fist is you know, tightening your forearm as tight as you can for count of five, releasing it. And noticing how it feels when you release. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You can do that for your whole body. I talked about that in the last session in detail. So go back and hear that session, okay? All right. Now, it is called the paying attention exercise. Paying attention exercise. Okay? All right. So back again, 8 to 11-year-olds. You're saying, okay, Hassan, there is one more exercise we are going to do. This is called a paying attention exercise. You can do this one in the chair or the beanbag over there, whichever one is more comfortable for you. This exercise is designed to bring more awareness of your surroundings to your senses. It's so important. When you are sensitized to more of your environment, you will be able to pick up the different energy levels of people and situations faster, and you'll be able to prepare more quickly for them. Well, this is good. You can offset a potentially bad situation and prepare so you aren't caught off guard. Okay, so sit. Take a deep belly breath. Let the air out slowly. Close your eyes and tune into all the sounds that you can hear right now. Hear the computer fan and the truck that just went by. What other sounds are you noticing? How about your heart pounding away? Can you feel your heart rhythm in your ears? How about your breath? Can you envision your breath coming into your body as if you are flying in, riding the waves of your breath like a surfer would do? Can you feel your breath going down through your chest to your stomach and back out? After a while, you should feel your heart rhythm in different parts of your body, especially your head. See, this exercise sensitizes you more to your inner and outer environment, which makes you take notice when something is a little out of sorts. You have to know what peace feels like so you know where you need to go for relief. Wow, that was too much. Let me say it again. Man, that was good. I felt something that time. You have to know, this is so important, you have to know what peace feels like so you know where you need to go for relief. Well, this is so important. Woof. Your marriages, for those of you who have some difficult marriages, you know, and you get that after prayer, or you might be in a car listening to your favorite music, you feel so peaceful inside, you know. We have to mentally record that. You know, maybe put it in a box labeled P for peace. And then you can go to that box, open it up, and express, you know, experience that all over again. Yeah, for sure. All right. So here, back to role playing. All right, Hassan, we're going to take some notes in our journal to remind us of what we just experienced here today. You can use any color you want to express your thoughts, write or draw whatever comes up. You can take your journal or leave it here with me, and I'll put it in a special file drawer. Write down how you felt beforehand, during, and after each exercise, and anything that comes to your mind. There are no wrong notes or feelings, so whatever you express is good. You write that last line. We need to tell our kids this. Whatever you express is good. So they can feel free by expressing themselves. See, when children don't feel comfortable expressing themselves, they can get really depressed. Hey, look, myself, hey, Nazim Rashid, I was like that as a kid. It wasn't comfortable for me to express myself. I had suicidal thoughts. Yeah, I said, well, why y'all have me here in the first place, you know? So I did that. It's very important to tell your kids that. Again, whatever you express is good. Yeah. And tell them that I love to hear you express yourself. It makes me feel good to hear you talk about how you feel. Yeah. I want you to always feel free to come to me and talk about what's going on inside of you. Sometimes if you look at these the child kidnappings, you know, and sexual abuse, you know, these poor little choir boys, I feel sorry for them, sad for them, being abused by the priests. If you do this exercise, I'm telling you, your kid will tell you exactly what's going on, and you'll know before tragic happens. That's very important. Very, very important, okay? All right. Now we talked about 8 to 11-year-olds and other related issues there and so forth. All right, now, how about the adolescents? And this is a real hardcore area. This age group, adolescents, is quite different in many respects from the previous age groups, as you Sure, you already know. There's so much confusion built in with this age group that it takes a super caring adult that has an enormous amount of patience, understanding, empathy, love, and perseverance to win at being their predictable source of strength and solace. Oh, yeah. Teenagers have tenuous issues of self-esteem and self-confidence, so the sensitive parent will do everything imaginable to boost their esteem and image and to stay away from remarks or other behavior that can damage their fragile emotional makeup. And it is very, very fragile. Yeah, very fragile. Teenagers are really suspicious of adults, thinking that they are not in touch with their needs and they feel they don't want them to act from their own individual spirit. Yeah. Because of this skeptical nature of theirs, they're not too open to having an open-ended communication with the parents. They don't, generally speaking, they don't have a lot of trust in their intentions. When parents want to have a talk with them, emotional flags go up. Like, what did I do? Yeah, guards are up and they assume a defensive position as they are preparing to deal with the enemy, quote unquote. This is why you, as the caring and conscious parent, cannot start being the parent when the challenging adolescent period starts. That's so important. Too many parents, especially the fathers, don't get emotionally involved until trouble starts. Right away, the new teen is outraged that dad now wants to be the concerned, caring, involved father, where for most of the kid's life, dad was unavailable. By this time, the damage is really deep with traumatic emotional scars that can't go away anytime soon. This is why it is vital for caring parents to demonstrate being caring, involved parents from day one, even while developing in the womb. Takes two. Yeah, and fathers, hey, don't put it all on the mothers. Now, takes two to bring them in the world. Takes two to mold and manage them. All right. You see, a teenager will be more open to his or her parents if they have been there for them from day one, all the way through their developmental phases. Are you hearing this? Yeah, it's really some important stuff here. Even though the teen mind consciously looks at their parents with a certain level of contempt, the subconscious mind knows that they are loved and cared for and that the parents really have their best interests at heart. They really kind of know that. The conscious teen can't have any real justification for shutting the consistently caring, empathic parent out of their life. No. But as we all know, due to hormone imbalances, and transitioning physically from a child to an adult with his own package of confusing signals within and without, the new teen won't be basing his or her judgments of his environmental figures on logic and practical reason. Okay? Hey. Huh. So, no matter how wonderful you as a caring parent will be, there will be at various times no acknowledgement of your wonderfulness and love. Yeah, forget it. Remember that. Because of hormonal crash coursing within, new teen will experience wanting to, cry for no reason, typically of girls, be angry and mad for no reason, speak out, all at the most inopportune times and places, be deeply depressed with themselves. Yeah. And due to their depressive periods, they are hating themselves, hating you for having them, hating the way they look, hating the clothes you want them to wear, hating the hairstyle of your choosing, not theirs. Ooh, I'm telling you. And this is in the better homes. Yeah, buddy. And I'll share a personal story. They say your personal stories really are interesting and hit home with people. So, as a director of a youth program in California, yeah, before I was contracted to direct this youth leadership program, I had been working as a program director in the Tenderloin section of San Francisco. My job there was to train the adult homeless people in peer counseling techniques and communication and listening skills. The center that I was working in was supposed to be a clearinghouse for needed city-sponsored services, and the personnel that were working there were ones that were homeless themselves or pretty close to it. They were known for having a peer counseling model where homeless were counseling the homeless and directing them to where they could receive needed services such as drug treatment, case management, housing assistance, food and shelter, and employment assistance. I established a peer counseling training model where staff could go through a series of classes and workshops, yeah, and be certified to be a peer counselor. They could then intelligently help the clients that came in for help, yeah. Because of a God-inspired idea, I visualized a training model involving youth to undergo a series of training sessions to become peer counselors, then advance to train other youth in peer counseling, knowing, yeah, for sure. Now, knowing what I know about the distrustful teen mind, I prepared myself to sell my program to them, knowing that if I presented my program in the right manner, they would buy into the concepts and benefits and become my allies. Yeah. Since teens and newly termed tweens, yeah, think that most parents don't care about how they feel in general, I proceeded to start with one teen whose parents I had known for a while. Yeah, this was a good kid, very respectful to his parents and was conditioned because of his smart, involved parents to listen to me. He was conditioned to listen to me, so I picked someone that was okay. All right, good parents, healthy parents. I love it when I run to them. It's rare, I must say. Okay, so I told him I wanted to start a youth leadership program where after several months of workshops and outings, the trained youth would be teaching their own workshops in youth group homes, park and rec centers, and even at local juvenile hall. Ambitious? I would be there physically and emotionally for them, and would stick with them through the whole process. I told them that I was willing to go to their schools, talk to their principals for them, advocate for them, and assist them in their academic challenges. Yeah, I would go to bat for them. I would empathize with them and help them with their own challenges at home, at school, and in their community. I would provide some snacks and occasionally take them on food and recreation outings to increase our bonding and trust. This is over important, so important. Yeah, I had volunteers. We took them out. These kids, you know, right from the hood, they didn't know how to act in certain restaurants, so that was a training for them. Yeah, you know, like the one girl I had, you know, we get out you know, she was African American. All my kids were. And then, you know, the Caucasian woman, you know, middle age can walk by. So the girl gives her an evil eye, like, "What you looking at?" kind of thing. I got on her. I said, "Why did you do that? Well, I like the way she looked at me." "Hey, listen up. This is not your hood. You're out here because I picked you, because I see you have potential leadership qualities about you. And this is training. So we're going to start training right now." The woman went by, she's a human being. Just like you're a human being also. You don't look at her with contempt. God's spirit is inside of her like the spirit is inside of you. Okay? Absolutely. There you go. Go into the restaurant, you're going to behave like a wonderful, wonderful human being. I know you are. Okay? All right. So I had to do that. Pretty something. Let me tell you, that was bonding and trust. That was bonding. Yeah. So I made presentations to various schools as I was recruiting teams who wanted to make a difference in their communities. And I conducted after-school classes in personal development. Yeah. Promises were made which were kept every time. That's important because kids don't like that. That made a difference in how those kids responded to me. Yeah. They'll call me at night about their challenges at school or peer pressures or with their parents. And we would, and look, I would take loving time in discussing their options. I spent more time with the girls as these girls had no fathers at home. And they had special needs to fill that void in their lives. Yeah, for sure. So these teens were initially doing poorly in school, contemplating dropping out and turning to a life of crime and drugs. Some of the teens were doing fairly well in school and had good single parents who were feeling overwhelmed in the parenting demands and needed some help. Once the teens witnessed my sincerity and consistency, hello parents, they started bonding with me. And since our objectives were to prepare themselves to help others, yeah, to prepare them to help others, their self-esteem and self-image had to increase. Now, you getting this? All right, if the emphasis was just on their own personal development, I would have had different results. But because I emphasized the need of others, not them specifically, I kept their attention. See, attention is always on helping somebody else. So, because you help yourself automatically. All right? We all know that it is impossible to be a real source of help for others if you are lacking resources, if you are lacking basic skills, and have an obvious need for help yourself. Yeah. So in order for these kids to be what I call my community ambassadors, they had to have polished emotional and interaction skills so their clients, quote unquote, will respect and look up to them, saying to themselves, "Hey, I want what they have. I want to be like them." See, this is the mental state that you want your teens to have, feeling that they are empowered enough to lead other youth in directions that are productive for themselves and others that they will be influencing. Get that? Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, when you train youth to be leaders and then teach them to train others to be leaders, you have a positive snowball effect established. Now, you will have a new standard that says, that it is cool to be a leader and show others the way. So, with parents, you might say, "Why not? I don't direct the program." Parents, tell your children, "Hey, you got this concept? Find somebody who doesn't know what you know and teach them. Be a leader. You train all your kids to be leaders." Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you see, now when the kids work and live in this manner, they will automatically get the help they deserve and desire. They'll get automatically the help they deserve and desire. See, they will have the approval from their parents that they have always wanted, accolades from their, from the school administrators, and a sense of heightened esteem from their friends. The rewards, tangible and intangible, are not difficult to obtain now, and that motivates them to keep their productive minds consistent. Man, are you getting this? When our youth want to do right themselves, they will always intend to do the right thing. The key is in creating the environment that makes them want to think and do what is healthy and life-producing on one level or another. This is my intention for writing this book. I'm telling you. Don't forget the child self. Don't forget the self you once were within that also needs this kind of attention. Remember, this is, I have a holistic program here. I'm covering a whole lot of bases here. All right? Teens need to constantly have a project in which they are involved in order to feel important. This is why many parents create a very busy schedule for their tweens and teens so there will be no room for their young minds to wonder, is something unproductive? Did you get that? Yeah, I'm in homes quite a bit. I do workshops, and I work with youth, you know. And when I in these homes, and the kids complain of having too much to do, they say, "Oh, my parents, man, I can't sit down and breathe. They got all kinds of stuff for me to do." I smile and says, "You know what? Good parents. Ha! The kids don't like it. Good parents. You need to keep those kids busy." I'm telling you, I had a kid that might have a swimming team they're on, a chess club they're on, an after-school study program. They are busy. I love it. Yeah. I see it all the time. I see what works. I'm in these homes. Yeah. So since we can agree that these kids need to stay busy, why not have them active in personal development, building activities, leadership programs, and mentoring groups? Big brothers, big sisters, oh yeah, boys club. I'm telling you. And you sisters who are raising your kids by yourself, find someone to fill those voids. You got a little boy child there? Hey, take them to big sisters or big brothers somewhere, you know? Take them to a nice legitimate place. 100 black men out here. That's another one. Find a mentor for them. You need to fill those voids. That's very important. You can't fill the voids of manhood to a little boy child, sister. Can't do it. Man has to do that. Find a man to do it. You know, I don't mean in being in a rush to get married to someone you're not in love with, or you don't want to spend the rest of your life with. No, 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 no. No, no. Marriage is too sacred for that. But go to these places and ask for help. They'd love to do it. They'd love to do it. Absolutely. See, the self-esteem and self-image levels of our teens are so fragile and unstable that the sensitivity level to any kind of criticism is very high. Because of their precarious developmental stage, it is important to recognize this stage by giving them more positive attention, more validations, more compliments, and more gratitude appreciation statements. The more positive, if you can only just affirm what you see as their potential. Really, just really kind of make it up. Come on, come on, make them feel good. The more positive energy they receive from you, and the more activities they are committed to, the more they will get tremendous boosts in their self-esteem, image, and confidence levels. Knowing they can create positive physical changes in their environment gives them a sense of importance in the world. The suicidal tendencies in teens originate many times in the idea that they are powerless and they have no control anywhere in their lives. I was like that. Yeah, I had an attempt in my teens. I had suicidal fantasies when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. Absolutely. Yeah, this is real. This is why I do what I do, I'm telling you. When they are involved in programs that create positive change and knowing that they make contributions in these changes, those changes, then that is when the genius spirit emerges and they become unstoppable. Did you hear that? Unstoppable. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is so important. In the year 2000, I authored my first publication entitled Young Father's Life Skills Curriculum and Facilitator's Guide. Now, this was a comprehensive life skills curriculum that was and is used in young father's programs and at-risk youth in general. Yet it's used now in some programs. Yeah, I wrote that. High school-aged and young adults were the target clientele, you know. And I find a forward in that publication relevant now in this segment regarding teens, okay? Like this. As we, the mentors, guides, caretakers, teachers, preachers, parents, family members, loved ones, and spiritual partners, undertake the enormous task of assisting our young people over those troubled waters called adolescence and young adulthood, we must be well aware of the responsibility that is required. That responsibility is coupled with a conscious commitment to fill the needed void in those young lives. Young people need consistency in their lives. Mm-hmm. One of the needs of the human spirit is predictability. Yeah, another master in the field is Dr. Tom Rusk. That's coming from him. They need to know that we will be there for them. Unfortunately, their own parents and farts many cases failed them in this area, and they went on to have confusion, distrust, and frustration as a normal way of life. When they know their caring adult friend and guide is there for them to assist along life's way, they excel with the idea that they are supported, encouraged, and applauded when they make great achievements. This adds to their self-esteem, self-image, and confidence when they achieve their goals. This new level of esteem improves their worldview, their perceptions, and their ability to discern what they really need in their lives. Decisions regarding relationships, education, employment, family structure, money, and where to build their lives are all affected by their new sense of awareness. We provide that bridge over troubled waters for them to walk in complete safety and security, knowing we will not let them fall over. Mm-mm. We provide that safety net for them when needed. We provide that ear for those inquiring minds. We provide the heart for their troubled souls. We provide the wisdom and experience for their wondering curiosities. We provide answers and directions for their unending questions. Now, as we go forward with this arduous task and commitment to reach out and touch these young minds, let us remember from whence we came. We were all their ages at one time with the same unanswered questions and the same challenges of life. Let us sharpen our empathy skills and feel their pain as our pain, their struggles as our struggles, their hopes as our hopes, and their dreams as our dreams. Let us connect with their young, struggling spirit and lead them to a healthy disposition and a healthy worldview with a faith that the best is possible and probable in their lives if they only believe. Let us give them that model of faith so they can believe. And the peace that only Allah has be with you. As-salamu alaykum. Whew. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's the forward in my publication, first one, and also the speech I gave at a couple of commencement exercises. Yeah, for sure. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. That's been reconnected. All right, we're going to close with right there. Again, I'm Nazim Abdul-Rashid. The book Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. I'm telling you, this was a real important segment we had today. Installment 21. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. A website, cloudsofabundance.com. Please write that down and go there. Cloudsofabundance.com. You can order the book right now, and I'll put it in the mail tomorrow for you. Oh, yeah. Barnes & Noble has it also. Of course, the ebook, Kindle and Nook, is available that way, too. All right? Very important to do that, okay? Now, my show. I have the Reconnected Show on Saturdays, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Most of y'all are listening from the East Coast right now. 2 o'clock your time. You'd like to call and listen on your phone like you're doing on this show, just call 347-994-2524. 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. 2 o'clock on Saturdays. If you listen online or on your smartphone, it's the same network as this one. blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Okay? Yeah, that's it right there. So it's very important. I'm telling you, I gave you a lot today. And we're going to do another segment next week, segment 22. Yeah, we're almost coming to the end here. Yeah, I'd love for you guys to, you know, brother and sister, give me some feedback. Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. And don't forget to go to my Facebook, like it, and also look at those youngsters, young girls. I think boys in there, too. I think it's the girls. Anyway, young people showing us how to relax and do deep breathing. Facebook.com/childselflove. Again, facebook.com/childselflove. child self-love. All right, and scroll down, you'll see a little sister there. Click on that link, and you'll see an excellent short video on youngsters showing us how to deep breathe and how to relax. That's very important, all right, very important. Stop beating your spouse up. Love them instead. Yeah, that's more healthier. More healthier is healthier. It's not healthier at all the other way. Yeah, for sure. Okay? All right, we're going to close the show out. So I end the show like I start. I start with peace. I end with peace. And also, Ramadan Mubarak, for those of you who are fasting. Assalamu alaikum.